You're listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 25.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Suzanne Streisauer. Suzanne is a life purpose expert and certified life and career coach on the personal, professional, and spiritual aspects of our lives. She shows people the ways to incorporate their life purpose into their daily lives for personal meaning and fulfillment. She's an award-winning author of 3 books, including the International Book Competition award-winning workbook, 111 Inspirational Life Purpose Quotes. Welcome, Suzanne, to Mindful Marketing. How are you doing on this fantastic morning?
I'm doing wonderfully, Kimberly, and happy to be with you today.
Oh, wonderful. I would love to hear your personal journey and your story about behind creating Awaken to Your Life Purpose and becoming your life purpose expertise that you have. How did you go about that?
Well, there's a funny story, and it's very circuitous in one way. And the short version is that, you know, I started out as a young person being very intuitive and turned that into a career. And then I wanted a, quote, real job. And then I went into the trades. And then I wanted to legitimize myself. And then I went into interior design and did medical facilities design. And at each one of these junctures, and then I became a social worker, and I worked in public policy and with group home kids and became a social worker and an author and then a life coach. So 17 different careers thrown in there. And so at some point in all that, I wanted to know what was I here to do? Because I'd throw myself 100% into whatever that was, but what was I here to do so that I could know willingly and consciously put my energy into something? And so I went to a hypnotherapist one day, and she took me on an extraordinary journey. And in that journey, she showed me how I sat before the Council of 12 and was actually shown how I was, you know, supposed to have an impact on the world. And so that was 30 years ago. And so all along this time, you know, I've just kind of had that in my mind and, you know, doing the career things I felt like doing at the moment. But when I look back now, and this is what I tell people about their own life purposes, is that your life purpose is either being or becoming. So it's becoming if you don't know what it is and you're just gathering your tools and your skills and your consciousness and your awareness to go and do what you really came here to do. And then you get to a point where you're being your life purpose, and that's when you know what you're here to do and you're consciously doing that and powerfully doing that. And so, you know, I could see that my job was to help empower people and heal the planet and make a difference. And so now, as a coach and author and radio show host, I get to do that powerfully in every one of those venues. So it was a journey that involved all those different things. But, you know, ultimately, I wound up being my purpose.
That's great. That's such a great story. And how did you make the transition from knowing that that's what you were supposed to be doing to actually making it a business? What was that turning point that says, I'm going to start my LLC and this is what I'm going to do?
Well, that's a funny story, because what happened was I was a social worker And again, I wanted to make a difference in the lives of foster kids and, you know, give them a better start and a jump start on the world that they came into and, you know, again, have an impact. But that didn't go so well because I wasn't the final arbiter of circumstance and choices and decisions for the kids' lives. So one day I was in my car, it was at the end of a day and a kind of a tough day. And all of a sudden my spiritual guide visited me and he said to me, "You are fired. You will have no bosses but me for the rest of your life."
I love that.
And that was in 2008. So literally I was fired from a day job. And then I was a little scared. It's like, oh, okay, well, so if I'm fired, then you need to be guiding me because I don't know what to do on my own. And so within 2 weeks, I got an email. There was the Become a Life Coach certification. At that point, I didn't know anything about life coaches. I knew about therapists and social workers, and that was the extent of that. And then all of a sudden, when I went to look at this thing, because a lot of messages I get are via email from the other side, and I went to look at it, I'm like, I love this, a coach. This looks like a great thing to do. And so, and it lined up exactly with helping people make a difference, having impact, and just me helping them to make a difference. Didn't mean I had to get in the middle of any mix or any other bigger environmental circumstances, just directly one-on-one. And so I said, this is it. This is it. And so that's how I became a coach in 2008.
That's great. And so who is your ideal client? So now that you decided to be the coach, how did you determine who you were going to help specifically?
Well, some of that's default because when you start, you don't really know. You think you know, but you don't really know because sometimes who you think you are going to have for your clients isn't who you have for your clients. So for instance, I thought I was actually going to have spiritual people as my clients. And that wasn't how it turned out. It turned out that I had very successful professional women who wanted to become spiritual, who wanted to have careers with meaning and purpose. So my job was actually to take them in a streamlined way to find what their purpose in life was and how all of the amazing things that they'd done to date could now be turned around and be used in service to something bigger than themselves that they were inspired about.
I love that point that sometimes we think we're going down a certain path and that's who our client is. And then it changes and we have to make sure we're open to that to make sure we're serving the right people.
That's right. And I think, you know, again, it goes back to whatever your life purpose or personal mission statement is. And, you know, what is the difference that you want to make? And so, or how? And then all you have to do in the moment is to say, am I in service to that? And then after that, I really feel like it's none of our business. You know, it's like, if that's in front of us, that's what our job is. And to just get out of our own way after that.
Absolutely. So how are you marketing to those clients from a business perspective?
A couple of different ways. One is obviously referral, network, you know, through my networks. And then the other one is through podcasting, interestingly enough, through a lot of radio shows that I do, internet online radio shows, because one of the things that people want is they want to get to have a sense of who you are. So just having a web presence, you may or may not be effective at your communication with them, although some people do find me on the web. But most of my clients are from podcasts and referrals.
So true how that human interaction makes such a difference. And referrals, I hear over and over and over, is the best way to find people.
Right. And, you know, for instance, on this interview we're doing right now, you know, there's going to be some people who say, who have some resonance and they say, oh, wow, she sounds normal and she does spiritual. Okay, that would work for me. You know what I mean? So people, this is a way to have, for them to have a touch point with, you know, another human being, and then they can take the next step. So I love that there's podcasts now because it's a great way to build your business.
Yeah, they really get to know who we are. So in the mind, body, spirit arena, as we are in, I see many different marketing challenges that come up. What do you think are the main marketing challenges as far as running a business that we see in mind, body, spirit?
The big, big, big one, I think, for the mind, body, spirit people is we are not so connected to the 3D world. We're not connected to the business world. We're led by spirit, and we want to be doing things that are in service to spirit. And so it doesn't necessarily, so we're not marketing pros. We didn't come here to do that. We came here to go with a certain flow and vibration. And we, you know, it takes a while to figure out how to integrate, you know, the social media, the website, the this, the that you have to do. And I think that from a spiritual perspective, that's the hardest part. Like most people that I know who are doing, you know, high level spiritual work, that grounding piece is difficult for them. And so, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, and then the other thing is the translation from the spiritual into the more mainstream. And if you're, you know, like a lot of my work is multidimensional with people, but you can't really say that. And so, you know, so it's languaging and it's also just helping people ground that.
Languaging is so important. I stress that all the time, speaking in the right terms that everybody gets it and we don't. Because so many people, it's funny, I was having a conversation yesterday with a friend about spirituality, and she was saying how people, sometimes they hear the word, and they're like, oh, no, and they don't want to have to deal with it. So making it mainstream is so important.
That's so true. And a lot of people who are very spiritual, unfortunately, don't have that capacity. And so they're considered woo-woo and, you know, kind of out there and this and that. And you and I have the benefit of having been more corporate in our backgrounds, which meant we had to speak a certain way. We had to be a certain way. So we know that. So, you know, you and I are the lucky ones, Kimberly. We're what I call bridge people. We're people who can speak fluently in both worlds, mainstream as well as spiritual. And I think that's what more people need to learn how to do.
Absolutely. So for you, what's working for you in your marketing in social media? Is there a certain avenue that you take that works best for you?
There's two. I love Facebook and I love LinkedIn. And I like them for two different reasons. Facebook is much more sort of inspirational, and I can give resources and I can give people information. I can give them vibe. I can visual. So I love LinkedIn because, contrast to Facebook, where I'm kind of more, I just post whatever I want to and it's just more fun. And it's intentional, but it's more fun. When I'm on LinkedIn, I'm looking for specific things, whether it's radio show hosts, spiritual people, people I can connect with for my life purpose curriculum, just a whole bunch of different things. It's very strategic when I'm on LinkedIn. So for your listeners, one of the things that I, you know, love about LinkedIn is, what are you looking for? And then if you know the right search term, you can find those people on LinkedIn easily and effortlessly. And most people are very responsive too.
And I love, a couple of people I've interviewed lately have been talking a lot about LinkedIn. And it's also important to mention too, I think, because your ideal client is a more established corporate type person, that LinkedIn is a perfect place to go find them.
Yes. Yes. Although it's funny because you can't, you know, I'm not the voyeur type. So I like things to come to me. I don't go looking for that. And I know the other thing is, and this I think is the other piece of the trouble for spiritual people in marketing is, you know, how do you go and find somebody and say, are you lost and need to be found? You know, you just don't do that. You know? So part of that is, you know, you have to wait for that to come. You know, there's spiritual groups on LinkedIn, but I'm going for something different on LinkedIn than that. I let the podcasts and my referrals and networks go and help me fill my clients.
Fantastic. So I noticed that you are going to be on National Geographic on your Doomsday Preppers. So how did you get yourself on television? Because I know we're going to talk in a minute about virtual book tours and getting yourself out there. So you seem to have a knack for that. So how did you get yourself on television?
Okay, so I think that the way that people need to do that, and the way that I did that, is you have to be relevant. And, you know, people talk a lot about being relevant. Well, what does that mean? So in my own circumstances, I live on 30 acres in the middle of nowhere. And so I decided I wanted to be very high tech and very low tech at the same time. I have llamas and chicken and goats and sheep. And, you know, I live in the middle of nowhere with 150 fruit and nut trees, you know, so, and I get to work from home. So I designed exactly the life that I wanted for myself. And so there's a show on National Geographic called Doomsday Prepper, which is about fanatical people. And so that's not particularly of interest to me at all. But what is of interest to me is, how are they sustainable? How are they energy efficient? How are they, you know, being self-contained, living self-contained lives? And so, you know, I'd watch the show, see if there was new things that they had for me that I could use for myself. And so most of the time the answer was no. And then the next thing I'd say is, and I'm doing it better already. And I don't have to go somewhere. So I knew intimately their subject matter and I knew intimately what I had to offer. And so the pitch that I made to them was, y'all are doing fanatical things always. If you want to see what it looks like when someone lives sustainably and is a lifestyle prepper as a lifestyle, for 15 years I've been living this way, you know, would that be of interest to you? And oh, by the way, there will be no guns, no fanatical nothing. And it's going to be about how my life has been led and guided by spirit. And I'll show you how I live this way. I don't have to leave, have the community in mind. And, you know, so I gave them a whole different pitch than what they were used to. And they said, yes. And so I, you know, when they got here, I wanted to make sure that was really true. So I told them there's not going to be any of that stuff. So if you want that, you need to go leave right now. And then that segment aired last year. It was a beautiful segment. And, you know, it's amazing. They spent 2 days filming for 12 minutes of footage.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yep. Unbelievable.
I like that. That's relevant, though, to be able to just go see where you might fit in and just do it. Take the step to say, hey, I could totally offer you, give you some value for what you have. And that's a wonderful thing.
And that's what I feel is really true for, you know, people that when you talk about mindful marketing is that what do you have to offer? So as we're having this conversation and just meeting each other, what do we have to offer each other? How can we help each other? How can the connection that we have be inspiring so that we want to just naturally take next steps and say yes? So I think one of the things about mindful marketing is how do you respond to the people that you're interacting with, to the circumstances, opportunities, in such a way that the only answer someone can have to you is yes.
Absolutely. So do you find that your customers like to engage with you in a certain media versus another?
You mean like whether it's on the phone or Skype
or even from blogging? Are they interacting with you more on your blogging or certain forms of social media? I've heard all sorts of interesting things, and I'm always fascinated by this question.
Okay, so the truth is at this point, I'm lazy, so I don't really blog. So, you know, I'm just too busy writing books and doing interviews and setting up another company to think about writing one more thing called a blog at this moment. So as much of a blog as people get out of me is a Facebook post, which then is about 140 characters. And so I do make an effort to make a post every day. And I also make efforts to give people resources every day. So, you know, you mentioned earlier the bestvirtualbooktour.com, which is my multimedia virtual book tour. And every day I give people on that site a resource, a website for authors, particularly nonfiction authors, to go and help get their books out into the world. So I'm not a traditional social media person per se in that way. You know, I should be better, but it's just not at the top of my list of things right now.
I love that. And I always say, if it doesn't feel right or it doesn't fit in what you're doing, then you don't need to be doing it, which is great. Because sometimes people feel like, oh, I must be on social media. And it's really helpful. But if you're not into it and it's just not in your schedule, then that's not the place to be for sure.
I'm not so much on Pinterest, not on Instagram, a little bit, but not, you know, I mean, once every 6 months, I'll put something up. So if somebody finds me and does something or, you know, some way they do that, you know, and I'm not that sophisticated. I'm, you know, like how all that stuff is all linked together and this and that. So I think part of it is, you know, having the sophistication, the fluency to have it be easy, and then you're more willing to do it.
Absolutely. So let's talk about your virtual book tour and how you're an author of 3 books. And I'm fascinated by a virtual book tour. I've been talking about this with some people and I now haven't met someone that has it pulled together like you have. So let's talk a little bit about that and what that is and how that can help the authors out there.
Okay, well, as you know, Kimberly, most authors, well, some interesting statistics. One is that according to the Print on Demand Association for Self-Published Authors, the average book sells at a maximum 200 copies. So imagine all that effort as an author and you only sell, if you're lucky, 200 copies. And the other interesting statistic is by one of the biggest print-on-demand publishing houses, Author House, and they have 60,000 authors who publish 40,000 titles, and they average 41 copies per book that they sell.
Wow.
So it's pitiful. And so, you know, there's a lot of work to getting a book launched properly. And there's infrastructure. I say that there's 3 pillars to a good marketing promo book launch. And one is that you have to have your infrastructure in place, which includes your press kit, your one sheet, knowing what you're going to do. And also something I have my authors do called an author information sheet, because I think it's important that everything about you and your book, it becomes like a vitae for your book. And then once those things are in place, then you have the ability to mobilize yourself well. Additionally, in the visibility category is your book trailer. And, you know, people think, well, why do I need a book trailer? Well, if you have your book trailer done properly and then the distribution piece of it done properly, some companies will send it out to 5,000 librarians for you. They'll send it out to hundreds of indie bookstores as well as every book video hub. So all of a sudden you have backlinks, you have promotion you never thought you're going to have. And then if you have a book synopsis done, That goes out and gets sent out to 1,000 literary agents around the world. And so, and these things I've actually done and tried. So it's not like I'm making this up, but it, then you get responses back. So with the book synopsis, what you want to do is you want to have that sent out to all the literary agents. Plus, if you have it professionally done, it's in the language that the book industry is used to hearing. It's not an author talking about their book, which is not the best thing to do either, because we certainly have a bias. Whereas if you have an you have someone who's in the industry, they can do good SEO for you, and they make it so that it's the kind of verbiage that people want to have. I mean, your book is your unique book, but it can be written about in a way that really showcases it. And that then, your book synopsis can then be sent out to 1,000 literary agents. So you can see about actually getting a book deal out of your book synopsis. And it's a great way to query, and you don't have to do it. It's a service that I have that they go and they do it for you. And the only thing you get back is you get the yays and the nays back. And so, you know, all you need is one yes. And so it's a great thing to do. Then the final thing is sales channels. And with sales channels, you should be in book fairs. And most people don't even know about, you know, book fairs, but there's Book Expo America, the Frankfurt Book Fair. There's ones in India and China, Guadalajara, Cape Town, South Africa, they're all over, as well as state and national ones. And the state ones are like the library associations. So if you get yourself out in front of librarians, you can be bought up for them. Then there's the sales channels, and sales channels are like Amazon, as well as Barnes & Noble, and then distribution channels like Ingram, Baker & Taylor, New Leaf. You need to be in some distribution channels for wholesale orders. And then also I recommend getting involved with associations. And I have a new way of doing an Amazon best-selling book campaign, which is not the traditional way, which makes it make sense for me, because otherwise you just you have a spike for 72 hours and then you go away. You get the ability to say you're an Amazon best-selling book author, but who cares? But this way you actually have some longevity, reviews, and then Amazon will promote you. So those are the three pillars of getting your book out into the world that I take my clients through, because you know you have to do some of all that to really reach the market.
That's fantastic, because I think that's kind of a black hole for people. They're like, I'm going to write a book, and then now what? And because many times mind, body, spirit, we're not business people, then you get stuck. But there's so much promotion behind it, and this is a beautiful service you offer. I love it.
Well, thanks, Kimberly. And the thing that I like about it is that I've streamlined this so that literally people can do this with me in 90 days. Like the first week we get your press kit, your one sheet done, then I've already set up all of the interviewers. So I have hand-selected radio, podcast people, digital magazines, and also television people to go and do these interviews. So I know that you're going to get a good interview, and I also know that you're going to get a review because I'm asking them to do that. So I'm building your numbers in a lot of ways, and I also want them to have 10 or 20,000 people as a listener base so that it really makes sense for the author. So that, you know, if you're going to pay well for a service, then you should get something. And so I've made sure that my radio show hosts have numbers, so when authors go to talk, it's not to, you know, air. And, you know, I just want those things done. And then there was one thing I forgot to mention, and that's book competitions. If you're not in book competitions, again, people can't see you. You never know who's going to be judging those books. You never know who's going to say, oh my God, I love this book and everybody needs to know about it. So book competitions is another thing people need to do with their books. So all that I've packaged in 90 days. I have all the services so people don't have to spend 90 days just trying to figure out what resources to use. I have it all in place for people.
That's fantastic. Well, I already can think of some clients that will be using you. So this is a wonderful thing. I have to admit, I haven't met someone that has it as put together as you do. And that's fantastic. Wonderful.
Well, thanks, Kimberly. I mean, that's the way my mind thinks. I think in systems. And so, you know, like for me, life purpose was a system. When I wrote my workbook, you know, the nice thing about us spiritual people is we don't have to have an agenda. So we can let the universe give us the agenda. And so when I wanted to figure out about life purpose to, again, streamline that for clients, I was like, well, what is a life purpose? And nobody had a satisfactory definition for me. And so, you know, and everybody would just do one focus. You know, Dan Millman does a brilliant job with numerology and Carolyn Mace with sacred contracts. And, you know, everybody has their little piece, but I wanted something that gave the whole continuum. So, you know, for both the mind, body, spirit bunch, as well as the professional, how do you go and you find your life purpose across the continuum so that you have a holistic life purpose, not just your skills, gifts, and talents, or the woo-woo side of it, but to marry those.
That's wonderful. So you have everything really dialed in, and I love it because I also have a systems background, and it's a different way of thinking. So you've done a fantastic job with this, but what has been your biggest challenge with marketing?
So the biggest challenge with marketing of my book business is that it's very new. It's very innovative. Like when you talk about book tours, virtual book tours, everything people's minds go to is to a book blog tour. And, you know, that's nice, but that's a very highly selected niche market. And so again, how do we expand that? So when I went to start this and to create this company, I said, where are all the places that people go about books? And so, you know, that's when this whole thing kind of rolled out for all these different things. You have to be in all those different places. And then to find resources was the next trouble, Kimberly. You know, putting the resources together and then, you know, reciprocal marketing and affiliate programs and referral marketing and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, okay, and then how do you find authors? And so actually there's some really interesting ways to find authors, and there's a steady stream of authors. So that this business has actually turned out to be something that can niche really well because I'm focused on nonfiction authors. And there's all of these different book services that give nonfiction authors publicity. So I can just tap into them and reach out to those authors. But again, they don't have all their contact information. So then you have to go find them. But, you know, then you have good, again, pitches to make sense for them. And one of the things that I do as part of my marketing for that, and this is something I would say for your listeners, is what can you creatively offer people to market your service? And so with the bestvirtualbooktour.com, what I offer is a 45-minute author strategy session call, and it's free. And what I do with each author is I go in depth with them about that three pillars, the infrastructure, the visibility, and the sales channels. So even if they didn't work with me, they leave better than when they came. And so they learn something. So my marketing strategy for them is how do I give them something that they can use that I can easily give them? Who's going to say no to a free, you know, consultation? And I need to have the consultation, so I need to know if I want to work with them or not too.
Absolutely. Because not every client is the right client.
No.
So looking back on your journey, if you had to do it all over again, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
That's a great question. So because we're doing this interview, Kimberly, and we're of both minds, the spirit and the practical and the professional, I'm going to give you two answers. So from the practical and the professional, somehow I, as a spiritual person, I never thought I was going to need all that 3D stuff. I never thought I was going to need the practical stuff. I never saw the relevance. I just figured I was going to be guided and everything was going to be good that way, which is true. I have been, but in the 3D world, that doesn't translate so well. So from a 3D perspective, if I had it to do over, what I would like is I would love to have had some entrepreneurial class in high school. And that guys kept with me for my whole life. So, you know, you learn how to have a vision and to turn that into a business, how to market it, how to, you know, and then actually all the way to an exit strategy, right? So you know how to do this from, you know, beginning to end. From a spiritual perspective, I think what I would love is, but your journey is perfect. So you have to build the skills as you do. So you wind up where you do. But if I had it to do over, what I would like to have is to have spirit have given me some more clarity in direction when I was younger. And so that, you know, like we can hear messages, right? Well, how come they're not specific about business? They're not that specific. And to be more specific about, okay, how do you want me to do this? But then on the other hand, you know, I mean, when it's all said and done and I look back on my, for instance, my interior design career, that set in motion a whole consciousness of creating environments that heal. That was my signature in that. And that became a big mantra for huge conferences, creating environments that heal. So even though that wasn't my life's work, it had an impact. And so I don't know that we can second guess the spiritual part side of that.
I know. Wouldn't it be nice if we got a little manual? This is where you're supposed to go.
I'm telling you, make it such a difference.
Oh, I need one of those.
Well, except, you know what? That's what we're creating. That's right. What you and I are actually creating with what we do. So I feel like this next generation coming up behind us is going to have the benefit of that because, you know, some of us are gifted with the ability to think in terms of systems and to put systems in place and have them be relevant and help people understand why they're relevant. And then they can just step into them and flow with them. So I feel like the next generation isn't going to have as much trouble as we did.
Well, at least we can be part of that. I love that. We can help them out.
Yep.
So where do you see yourself going next? What's your next step in your building of your business?
So are you talking about my current business or the next steps in life?
I guess maybe the next, like, where do you see either your platform going or what do you see for you?
Okay, so there's a couple components to it. So the Best Virtual Book Tour is going to affiliate and align with people who are similarly minded for speaking, to help people into the speaking arena. So part of me, if I'm thinking about the Best Virtual Book Tour .com business and launching people, is going to have more ways that the platform can expand. So how can people become good podcasters, for instance? How can people expand that? From a spiritual perspective, I'm in the middle of my own evolutionary journey. And for my spiritual journey, I know, so I've written a screenplay, which is autobiographical, or shall I say roughly autobiographical, which is a trilogy about the evolution of our human consciousness. And so there's a prequel and a sequel. The first one is called Who's Dreaming Me? Like, how did we get to this particular place, this particular point, this particular time in our lives? And then the Shalia, or the angels living amongst angels, is the script that's written. And then the other one is called Coming Home. And it's when we come back to harmony and that whole thing. So there's some screenplays yet to be written, and I've got a television pilot started, and I want to go and work with the energetic part of things for people to help them be able to embody the new frequencies and the new energies and the new vision that's coming in, so people don't feel kind of disjointed within themselves. So that's really the rest of the life's work, I think, here.
That's amazing. Wow. I can't wait to hear and see all of it. That's going to be incredible. So any last bit of advice that you have for the listeners who are thinking about starting a business, they like what they hear, but maybe they're nervous about it, what would be your last bit of advice to them?
Well, I'm going to do a couple things, Kimberly, and then I'm going to actually give them a free offer. So the first thing I would say is, and you've heard it said 1,000 times, but to follow your heart, but to do it with relevance. So, you know, you decided that you wanted to help people be mindful in their marketing. You know, I wanted to connect people with your life purpose. Well, how is it that you can make those things relevant to the person that you're reaching out to, that you want to serve? And so to be speaking from that place in your marketing, speaking from that place in your heart, and then people will naturally respond. They cannot really say no, particularly if you're doing something as a free offer to start out with them. And so that's the first part. And then to that point, if your listeners are interested in what they've heard and they want to do something with life purpose, or they want to do something with a book, they can find me at Suzanne@yournextstepcoach.com. And they can also sign up on thebestvirtualbooktour.com if they want to do the author strategy, and then they have a free call. So I'll do a free half-hour coaching if you want to do coaching on just life, or I'll give them a free 45-minute author strategy session if they're an author and they want to figure out about their books.
That's fantastic. Well, I have to thank you for all of your incredible information. It was so valuable, and it was truly an honor to have you here.
Well, thanks, Kimberly. It was a pleasure, and I enjoyed meeting a kindred spirit.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.